Isn't he? Praise God. There we go. Eddie, can you take care of that thing before I have a epileptic seizure up here? That light is going bloop, 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 bloop. I don't know if y'all can see it or not. Maybe y'all just think it's my halo. I'm not sure. But that's not it. Okay. No chance of that being a halo. All right. An out-of-towner drove his car into a ditch in a desolated area. But by God's mighty hand, a local farmer came to help with this great old big strong horse named Buddy. He hitched Buddy to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull." Buddy didn't move. Then the farmer hollered, "Pull, Buster, pull." But Buddy didn't respond. One more time, the farmer commanded, "Pull, Coco, pull," nothing. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Pull, Buddy, pull." And then the horse dragged the car out of the ditch. The motorist was appreciative and very curious. He asked the farmer why he called his horse by the wrong name three times. The farmer said, "Old Buddy is blind, and if he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." Okay, it's getting better. Still over. Can you just turn? Which ones are blinking? Whatever's blinking, just turn it off. That'll solve that whole problem. There you go. That solved that whole problem. There's more than one way to baptize a heathen. Amen. Get your Bible out. Psalm 23. We're going to finish up from last week. Psalm 23. God's so good to us. All the time, God is good to us. How many has been through some dark valleys lately? Amen. We've had two funerals here in the last 2 weeks. I preached three funerals in the last 3 weeks, but two of them were here, and they were our people. And it always hurts me when I preach a funeral, no matter who it is, who it's for, or where they're from, but especially when it's one of our people, it really, really hurts, because I know that although they're with God, we're not going to see them anymore. We're not going to have them as part of our powerful family here. And so that can bring dark valleys. There's other things that can bring dark valleys, but of course, collectively, the deaths that we've had, and collectively, the heat that we have experienced, and the weather. So there's all kinds of things that happen. So get your Bible out, stand for the reading of the Word, turn to Psalm 23. God is so good to us all the time. God is good to us. Ready? Verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well. And we know, God, that those that we have had services for in the last few weeks, they are alive and well, and they're in your presence, and we thank you for that. I thank you also, God, that the ones that are here today, God, they know that you're with us, and they know that you got your hand on us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, to anoint. Let nothing be said through strife or vain glory, but let everything be said to edify the body and glorify your precious name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, I love saying this, and especially now, tell them the past is behind us. Tell them the past is behind us. Leave it there. The future is ahead of us. We're going to get there one day. God is with us now, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now, before I get going into this, I want to dwell on one of the verses here that's actually not going to be used today, but I'm going to talk about it first. Anyway, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Here it is. thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Let me just stop there for a second before we go any further. The sheep, because of all their wool and because of being so low down to the ground and the gnats are everywhere, one of the most aggravating things to a sheep was parasites and gnats and mosquitoes and flies. And they would actually literally be buzzing around the sheep's head until the point that many times it drove the sheep crazy. And when it drove the sheep crazy, they would start running into each other. They would even start fighting each other. They would run off a cliff. They would run into the water trying to get some relief because these gnats and these flies and these parasites were buzzing around their head, and they couldn't seem to get the parasites to turn loose. And so what the good shepherd would do is he would take oil, and he would anoint the sheep's head with oil. And when he anointed it with oil, then it would deter all the parasites that came to the sheep, which would literally drive the sheep crazy so that the sheep could not rest. I'm here today to tell you right now, this message right here, some of y'all in here, you've been through some tough things. You've had some tough struggles. And you got parasites going around your head right now. It's aggravating you, thoughts and memories and things that are going around in your head right now. And it is trying to drag you down to keep you so you don't even understand what this service is about today, because all you can think about is those parasites going around and around and around in your head and in your mind and in your memory. And so the Holy Spirit, that's part of the worship, part of praise and worship, is God wants to take His holy anointing and place it on your head so you can have clear thoughts so that you can receive the Word of God today. So God's got something special, but although He's got something special for us, we've got to be in a position where we can receive it, because if you don't, it's just going to annoy you because you're still trying to get rid of the parasites and those thoughts and those memories that are driving you crazy. So next time you start feeling that way, you just stand right still and say, Lord, anoint my head with oil. Go ahead, Holy Spirit, penetrate my mind, penetrate my spirit, penetrate my very being with your anointing and with your power, so then when the enemy comes and tries to break through my mind, he cannot do it. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? Thank God for that. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, just quickly, we're going to talk about last week just a little bit. I promise you it's not going to be the whole thing, because we took quite a while. Matter of fact, here it is. I'm not going to put everything down below, but just for thought. What you get in a land or in a life, where all you have every day is sunshine and no rain. Very simple. You get a desert. There's a lot of people you think that, man, they got it made. They don't ever have any problems. Everything is going their way. I can promise you, when they do get in trouble, they're not going to know how to handle it, because they've never been through anything. But you find somebody that goes through it all the time. They've always got problems, and they're always trying to fix it. They're always trying to figure things out. They're always going to God in prayer and seeking God's word. I promise you, that person is going to be prepared for what comes against them, no matter what it is. So if all you get is sunshine, what you get is a desert. And so this was from last week, real quick. Ready? Dark valleys are unavoidable. Mankind is born for trouble. As surely as sparks fly upward, Job 5:7. It's unpredictable. You can't plan or time them. Usually they come at the worst possible time. Usually they come when you don't have time to mess with it. Usually they come when you don't have the resources to handle it. Or maybe they come to you when you're totally unprepared. Then here comes these dark valleys. Disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my tents, curtains, in a moment. Jeremiah 4:20. They're all so impartial. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Everybody. Y'all say everybody. Everybody. You got to say it right. Everybody. Everybody's got problems. I've never seen a person without problems. Amen. Everybody is having troubles. Sometimes it feels like you're doing time. Amen. Because there's so much stuff happening to y'all at one time. But remember this, and this is where we're stopping from last week. They're temporary. Valleys have an end. They don't last forever. Somebody say, praise God. Amen. They're not our permanent residence. The Bible says the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have put you together and on your feet for good. So I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. And that does happen. But I promise you, by the time that happens, then maybe there's going to come up something else, and now you're going to start all over again. That's life. Life runs in cycles. Life runs in seasons. And so you're going to have seasons of valleys, and you're going to have seasons of trial. But know this, God has a purpose for your valley. You rejoice in this, for now, for a short time, you had to be distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perisheth though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's letting these things come on you, these fires, these fiery trials come to forge your character. They do something to you that if you have everything handed to you on a silver platter, you can't handle it. So he's forging your character. He's changing you. He is maturing you. And you can tell just as good when somebody's lived through pain. They've lived through problems. They've lived through things that have actually changed their lives. And what happens is your faith is built in the valleys of your life. Y'all say that with me. Y'all say, Mike, you ready? My faith is built in the valleys of life. Amen. It's kind of hard. Look, when you're on top, you're not even thinking about it. When you're on top, you may be thanking God, you may not. But when you're in that valley, now that's a whole different story. Now you're thinking. Now you're praying. Now you're asking God, God, you got to help me get beyond this. So I've discovered that the tougher the times, the more I grew. Amen. So here it is. What do you do when you find yourself in the valley? Get ready. What do you do when you go through the dark valleys? Number one, get ready. Remain calm. Keep a calm head. I just let that sit in for a while. Because how often when everything's falling all to pieces, you didn't have a calm head. And when you didn't have that calm head, guess what you did? You made the problems even harder. You got to stay calm. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. He did not say run through it. Some of us try to run through it. He didn't say panic. Or look, I love that. There's that cat in front of all those Sherman Shepherds. Y'all see that cat? I can't get it to stop. Let's watch this cat walking in front of all those German shepherds. And that cat is reciting a 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes I feel like I'm the windshield. Sometimes I feel like I'm the bug. How about you? Amen. So, everybody in here, everybody, when you get in the valley, there can be four responses. I know we talk about this when there's panic attacks, which is part of this. We talk about this when we clam up. So let me just kind of open this up a little bit more. When you're in the valley and you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, when you're walking through, there's four things. They're not just psychological. They are actually spiritual things that can happen to you. We talk about it all the time. There's fight, there's flight, there's freeze, and there's fawn. Fight means I'm not going down. We're going through this. We're going to make it. And you're going to stay calm and you're going to get it done. Okay, so there's fight. Then there's flight. You try to run from it. You try to escape it, not realizing that God is building your faith and God is doing something special for you. And then there's freeze. Freeze is you just kind of stop. You don't do anything. And God's trying to work with you, but he can't because you're just frozen. And then there's fawn, F-A-W-N. Fawn is when something happens and you just give in. Just give in. You don't fight, you don't flight, you don't freeze, you just give in. And giving in is not what you want to do because that's when your faith is hardest hit. So walk in calmness. Number two, when you're going through those valleys, not only remain calm, refuse. Did y'all hear that word? Refuse. Y'all said it with me. Refuse to be discouraged. Refuse to be discouraged. Remember at the very beginning, it said fear is a reaction, but courage is a choice. Refuse to be discouraged. I will fear no evil. It didn't say that, like, I will fear no evil. It is a decision that you make. I refuse to be discouraged. It says that. That shows you there's a choice there. There's a decision to be made. We've had so many people in all of our families be sick, and I talk about her all the time, bless her heart, and she's gone now. But I sit back and I think about Bethany, and honestly, there was very little discouragement there and very little fear of evil because she knew God had her. She was totally convinced that God had her to the point where I think about 50 times a day, she'd say, God's got this, God's got this, God's got this. And you know what that was? That was, I will fear no evil. It was a conscious decision. And in her mind, that was her refusing to be discouraged. How do you do that? Well, number one is you got to focus on God's promise rather than focus on your valley or your problem. One thing, whatever you focus on the most will grow the biggest. Did you know that? If you focus on God and your problem, he becomes the biggest. But if you focus on your problem, it becomes bigger than God. So you got a choice to make. Everybody has the same choice and the same decision. Psalm 91, 5 and 7 says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Colossians 1:11 says, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come, but you will be able to be patient. Wow, that's God's word, not mine. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And everybody's favorite verse, I believe, especially in this day and time, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. So God has got us. Amen. Remain calm. Refuse to be discouraged. That looks familiar. Could that be one of y'all right now? Here it goes. Remain calm. Refuse to be discouraged. Rest in God's presence. DC just sang that song. Even when I don't see him, he's working. When I don't feel him, he's working. He never stops. He never stops. He never stops. He never stops. Even when I can't see him, I know that he's got this. Amen. So rest in God's promises, for you are with me. God promises to be with you every step of the way. Now, let's go back a little further in this one here. I love it. Exodus 33:14. He said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Amen. You can rely on God's protection and God's promises during all of this. Hold on, let me back that one up just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Ready? Let's do this. I'll stay right there. How many's ever heard that song, Blessings by Laura Story? Anybody ever heard that song? We played it here many times. Blessings by Laura Story. Did y'all ever hear the reason for that song? Laura Story wrote this song after her husband got very sick with cancer. So here's her life crumbling in front of her. And here's the lyrics. We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for our family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. All the while, you hear each spoken word, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. And here's the chorus. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? What if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life are revealing a greater thirst that this world cannot satisfy? What if the trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest nights are your mercies in the sky? I know some guys over the years in my family, guys I worked with, guys in the neighborhood, guys in detention centers. They were very hard. They were hard on God, and they were hard about the whole thing, and they were not going to give up to Jesus Christ no matter what. And then they developed a deadly disease, and they were on their deathbed. But it was a slow deathbed, like 6 months to a year. They knew they were dying as they were walking. And they said, again, like everybody, why would God let this happen to me? And eventually, they would come around to, Lord, save me. And that cancer became mercy. I told you this story before. But there was a young man, I knew the family. He was in kind of a modern day, kind of a off punk band, modern band, I'm not even sure. Some stuff I don't think I'd want to be playing. But he kept rejecting God and rejecting God. The band kept growing. And his mom and his daddy, who loved God, they would try, but he would reject it. And they finally got a record deal, and they were starting to make it big up and down the coast. And one night, him and his friends were partying after the concert, and he got angry. And he had a 9mm pistol. And he picked it up playing. And as he played, he hit the clip so the clip would fall out. And said, y'all make me want to shoot myself. And as he pulled up the gun, he hit the clip release, not remembering about the one in the chamber. And he held it to his head and shot himself in the head. Now, here's a guy on the verge of stardom. Here's a guy that's really getting ready to go places, already blossoming. He's carried to the hospital, and they told his mom and dad he wouldn't make it through the night. And they were by his side, and his hand started hitting his leg, and hit his chest. And they said, "What do you want?" Because he couldn't open his eyes. "What do you want?" And he did like this. And so they gave him a pen, a piece of paper and a pen. And he wrote down and he said, "Why do I hurt so bad? And why does my body burn so bad?" And they said, "You have shot yourself." And he wrote down, "I don't want to die." Now the doctors, he already defied the doctors because the doctor said he wouldn't have made it through the night. And he said, "I need peace." So the daddy started reading the Word of God to him every day. And through that week, he read the whole Bible to him. And each night, when he'd get through reading, he would quote the 23rd Psalm. The very last night, when he had finished up the Bible, he was reading the 23rd Psalm. And as he read the Bible, each time he held his son's hand while he was reading to him. And his son would grab his hand. And that last night when he finished up the Bible and he read the 23rd Psalm, and he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His son's hand opened up and fell to his body and he died. There's so many questions. But there's one thing I believe with all my heart is that that young man, even though he was being stupid and playing with that gun and he was rejecting God and all that stuff, I believe God showed him grace. And it's amazing. The very last thing his daddy said was, "I'll dwell in the house of the Lord," and he died. I preached his funeral. God's grace. You can't outrun God's grace. And sometimes God's mercy and grace is wrapped in tragedy. So let God be the judge. And you just trust God and his presence. Remain calm. Refuse to be discouraged. Rest in God's promises, and then rely on God's protection and God's guidance. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Matter of fact, the rod was a long stick, 3 to 4 foot long, sometimes longer, and it had leather, and it had a great old big leather ball on top of it. And if the sheep were being disturbed by a wolf or by whatever, they would take that rod and they would toss it. And they would hit that wolf, or they would hit the predator with that rod. Or while they were around it, they would take it and they would beat them with that rod. The Wild West adopted that. What do they call this? My rod. Of course, their rod reached out a whole lot farther than the shepherd's rod did. Joshua 1 and 9. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And again, just so you remember what I just said, I put it up there all again. Rely on God's protection and God's guidance through that valley. Because God has got you, and he's fighting for you, and he's comforting you. Now, let me show you something about shadows. Shadows. Number one thing about a shadow is it's always bigger than reality. How many like to watch those old-timey cartoons when the cat, like Tom and Jerry, and Tom is walking, and he sees a shadow of this great old big giant coming to him, and he gets scared, and all it is Jerry. Some of these other things, you'll see that big old shadow, and it scares you, and And you can be outside sometimes and see shadows in the fog, and it can really mess up your mind and play with you. Just remember this. Usually shadows are bigger than reality. Please listen carefully. Fear is always greater than the problems you face. Usually if you face it head on and go ahead and face it, you'll find out it's not as bad as you thought it was. Number two, a shadow can't hurt you. They can't hurt you. They can only scare you. They can make you hurt yourself. But shadows cannot hurt you. And the third thing, shadows only appear when there's a light source. So remember this, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not the train. God is that light. Have you ever noticed? I like it when I go past the used to it was catfish farm. I don't think they're doing any catfish now, but it'd be bad weather. And I see little itty bitty birds flying the best they could to get somewhere and hide in that bad weather. And I look way up in the sky. Every time I look way up, and there'll be the eagles soaring. They're soaring while all the other birds are finding shelter. Why is that eagle soaring? Well, first, their anatomy. They've got these shields over their eyes. Or these shields, they can put the shields down and the rain can't bother them, like their own home, their own built-in goggles. And so they're flying. Remember, they're not flapping, they're soaring. So they're above the storm, they're above the air currents, they're soaring on the air. They've got goggles so they can see. And you know what they're flying for? They're flying in the direction of the sun. And when they see the sun, they fly toward the sun. All the other birds are hid under the storm, and the eagle is flying toward the sun. Next time you've got shadows on you, don't look at the shadows. Look at the light. Look for God. Because I can promise you, God is a whole lot bigger than your shadows. You got to trust Him. And get ready to close. DC, get ready to come play something. God's got this. God's got me. When I can't see, my vision, His vision is strong. Say that with me. God's got this. God's got me. When I can't see, His vision is strong. Watch this. I love it. Ready? You can't break God's promises by leaning on them. I can break a lot of things by leaning on them. But I can't break God's promises by leaning on them. They're always stronger than what I'm going through. My challenge this week is to really, really, really lean on God's promises. Refuse to be discouraged. Stay calm. Rest in His protection. Everybody please stand. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody looking around. How many could say, Pastor, I'm going through some things right now. I'm going through some valleys. I'm going through some trying times. And I'm having that syndrome that you were talking about, because I'm really wanting to, I don't know whether to fight, to flight, to freeze, or the phone? Do I just give in? Or just stand there in terror? Do I run? Or with God's help, do I make it through that valley? Stay calm. Stay calm. Stay calm. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you been in a valley lately or in one right now and you're tempted? The flight. Freeze. Or phone. To run. Because fear has gripped you and nobody's looking around. But you put up that hand and say, that's me, Pastor. It's got me. I'm scared of it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here right now and you say, well, I've already blown it. I have not been calm. I've already blown it. Because I did not refuse to be discouraged. I've already blown it, God, because I didn't rely on your promises. Just remember, God's promises are bigger than your mistakes. And right now, this moment, we're going to forget. We're going to give it to God. We're going to put it behind us. And this moment, we're going to stay calm. And we're going to rely on God. And we're going to rest in His promises. Y'all say this with me. Father, forgive me for all the times I doubted you. Father, forgive me for all the times I let the shadows drive me. Father, forgive me for all the times I focused on my problems versus the promise. And right now, God, with all that behind me, adjust my focus and help me calmly go through that valley and trust your presence because you're there with me. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise your name and we thank you for it. We thank you, God, for healing broken hearts. We thank you, God, for touching broken spirits. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for this awesome congregation and what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I got a challenge for you. And you got to think about it. I want you to take this home and chew on this. This week, here's your challenge. Listen carefully because you'll think it's some kind of cliche and it's not. I was counseling somebody a week ago, and they were going through some tough struggles, and this was a God thing. I know God gave it to me. I know He did. And so I've been passing it on and passing it on because this ain't mine, it's His. Chase your dreams and not your nightmares. And watch what God will be doing instead of what you've been doing. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power of God.